One area where I would actually steer clear of Performance Max, if you're reselling Air Force Ones, for instance, that's where I would lean towards standard shopping. If you know that you basically only want to show your ads to someone looking for Air Force Ones, you can build out a segmented shopping campaign and add endless amounts of negative keywords and make sure that that ad is only ever going to show for that search. If you're a D2C brand, like our men's boot client that I work with, people aren't that specific when they're looking for men's boots. They're just looking for like men's leather boots. Performance Max can be good there because it's really good at introducing your brand to people who might not know about you yet. Whereas if you're selling something very specific tied to any sort of specific keyword, standard shopping is probably a better fit for you.
If you haven't yet used Motion, the creative analytics platform used by top e-com and D2C brands like Fiori, True Classic, The Farmer's Dog, Hexclad, and hundreds more to ship winning ads, here's why you should try it out. Everyone knows that the right creative is the number one lever for success with paid ads. That's how you make money. But consistently shipping new winning creative? You're going to need your media buyers and your creative teams on the same page. Right now, you're probably spending hours tiring away going back and forth between Google Sheets and your ad platforms and tools, and then spending even more time plugging it all into different decks for the rest of your team. In a perfect world, you could have an elegant way to combine visual assets and performance data so media buyers can save time and creative teams can get the details they need to make great ads all in one place. And that's where Motion comes in. In seconds, you can build powerful visual reports using data from your ad accounts. You can monitor your performance metrics and see your visual assets in the same platform. No need to go back and forth across multiple apps. You'll finally have media buyers and creative teams working together to create and scale your next big winner. If you're ready to learn how the best D2C and e-commerce brands use Motion to ship winning Meta, TikTok, and YouTube ads, book a demo today or start a free trial at motionapp.com/DTC. Even better, Motion offers a monthly subscription plan so you can dodge those annoying annual contracts. Get 50% off your first month when you use the link motionapp.com/DTC on signup. It's all killer, no filler. I'm Eric. We've got another first-timer from Pilot House on the podcast, Brian from Pilot House's Google team. What do you got for us today, Brian? What's been top of mind for you in this Q1 marathon?
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Top of mind recently, I wanted to talk a little bit about Performance Max. I feel like 2023 was the year of Performance Max, mass adoption. So I just want to take a look at what we've learned, where we are now. Is Performance Max still the best fit for your business, or should you be looking into some other campaign options?
That sounds great. It's funny, we were just talking about this on the newsletter about Meta put out this big press release last week about how it says that AI tools are boosting their ad campaign returns by 32%. I know it varies from campaign to campaign. I also saw that I was just looking at the Market Watch, and both Meta and Google, they feel, haven't really priced in a lot of these AI advancements, maybe into their stock value, for instance. But I know as marketers, we've been getting value from these tools for a long time. What's the verdict on PMax these days? I know, is it taking over, I guess, is the question.
It's a bit nuanced, and that Meta press release definitely strikes a chord, because that's what Google's been banging that drum about Performance Max since they released it. But we've learned there's a lot more nuance to those conversion rate increases than meets the eye at a glance. So I would say Performance Max is definitely not taking over just yet. And if anything, right now, we're currently seeing some of those early adopters who really leaned into Performance Max back in 2022 and got really excited about the initial capabilities of it. We're seeing a bit of a pullback from some pretty big names in the space and some pretty big thought leaders, and we're definitely testing other options here at Pilot House. So yeah, we could hop into some of that.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, I mean, it probably doesn't need much of an introduction for many of the listeners out there, but Performance Max, for what it's worth, is Google's catch-all, do everything, find you the best performance across all the channels. That's their campaign type that they've really been pushing, that everyone adopt to and pretty much shift most of their efforts over to there. So yeah, for starters, let's go over what's been working. So what we know from running things for good 2 years now, is you really have to, Performance Max will perform, but only as well as the signals and the data and the inputs that you give it. So for starters, we want to be making sure that you're uploading as many quality assets as you can, video, images, maxing out your headlines, maxing out your descriptions. You want to be really feeding as many assets into the campaigns, which will let the AI and the machine learning do what it's geared to do, which is find the best combinations for the best subsets of people. You also want to be uploading lots of first-party data. So customer match lists are of the utmost importance. And with the coming cookie apocalypse, this remains to be like top priority for everyone. I think PMax or otherwise, you got to be uploading that first-party data. But we know if we max out the assets that Performance Max lets you give it and you put in lots of good quality first-party data, you can see some pretty good results. But who is going to see the best results from that is up for discussion here. So
when you talk about loading up the assets here, are you doing it in a similar way to the way the Meta team, for instance, would run a pilot test where you're trying to think about the assets in terms of themes that address specific angles to be able to reach, you know, specific customers that might see the ad? Or is it more just sort of like headlines that you know will work?
Yeah, so a little bit of both. There's the way that Meta does it. Unfortunately, that sort of angle testing on Google has always been a little more challenging, just given the nature of the platform. It's always been built off keywords, and how much people are seeing some of your ad copies is always up for debate, or how much people are reading it. So testing those very specific pools of messaging it's a little trickier on Google, but at a glance, what you just said is pretty much right. So within a Performance Max campaign, it's made up of asset groups. For those familiar with search campaigns, you have your ad groups, and in Performance Max, you have your asset groups. So how you segment and divvy up those asset groups, you can do that based off of certain product categories. You can do that off very specific angles to different audiences. So say you want to target young mothers, you can have an asset group that is very focused creatively towards that audience, and then you would layer in the audience over top of that. And then you can still within the same campaign have an asset group targeted towards, you know, say if you're like a big retailer like Walmart, you can still target dads looking for lawn care goods if you want within the same campaign. You can get very thematic with how you're approaching that in Performance Max.
Very cool. Have you ever run, like, because I remember when I was back in Google, like Google's where I cut my teeth in, like, what was it, like 2009 or something, 2008, something ridiculous when it was AdWords. And we got really good at running things like one, I forget what they were called. There was an acronym for them, but it was like Skag. One keyword, Skags. That's right. Single keyword ad groups. And then making sure we had a congruent funnel to match to each. Have you tried, like when you're loading all these themes into PMax, have you tried breaking them out into more of that traditional style, and what performs better?
Yeah. So I'm personally a fan of, I do remember the days of Skags as well. They worked really good for a while. But I'm generally that idea of putting things into very similar buckets. Personally, I'm a big fan of that. I like to, within Performance Max, as much as I can, break out asset groups, either at the asset group level or the campaign level. Like you can have any number of Performance Max campaigns running in an account at one time. I'm a big fan of saying, let's show... yeah, this very specific theme of people, whether that's aid groups or in-market audiences, to this very specific creative, and keep things very linear. So people are getting a lot of, you know, congruency between the ad copy they're seeing, the images they're seeing, and then what landing page they're ending up on. The trick with Performance Max is Google gives themselves a lot of leeway to look at things that... like you're not stipulating. So let's say you're going after that young mother's audience. Google's saying, okay, we'll take that as an input, but we're also, you know, if we think there's a better fit for this group of people, like we're giving ourselves the authority to get there, compared to the days that you're describing where it was just like exact siloed match keywords, very siloed, yeah. Tons of control. And that is one of the pitfalls of Performance Max. certainly is you are relinquishing some control. You don't get to say, we're going to only show on display, or we don't want to show on display, and we're only going to show to this specific person. You know, you can't target keywords within Performance Max in a like a controlled way. You have to do it in a bit of a roundabout way. So you're letting Google's forcing you to leverage the AI. So you're giving up some of that specificity there.
We've got another note here. It's funny. I did a podcast a couple weeks ago with the Amazon team, and they were talking about the audits that they run on accounts. And the on the Amazon ad side, one of the biggest issues they feel is when people include their branded keywords in their top-level prospecting campaigns, because what ends up happening is you end up bidding inefficiently on your brand keywords, and your brand keywords end up eating a huge chunk of your prospecting budget, which isn't true prospecting anyway. So how do you feel about when and where or whether to put branded keywords into PMax campaigns?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is a fun topic to go on. It's quite a divided one in the Google media buying world right now. So a couple things to consider. I think one big one is, well, if we take a step back and we look at Performance Max, it's a campaign type that's always going to be heavily skewed to going after warm traffic. So if you launch a Performance Max campaign and you don't put any exclusions in there, you'll very likely see lots of brand coming through the campaign, which for the traditional media buyer, it's easy to freak out about that because you're very used to segmenting. Brand goes to the brand campaign and everything else goes to another campaign. But there's a little bit of nuance to it. So for one, I think it's really important to keep in mind what price point are your products and how long is the consideration phase? Because as we know, if you're selling a $500-$600 client, like one of my clients right now, their AOV is around $600 USD. And we know from GA4 and from Google Ads and from post-purchase surveys that people take 3-4 months, sometimes 5-6 months to purchase after their first interaction. So from that perspective, we know they're going to get fed multiple touch points along the way. In that instance, if I look at my Performance Max campaign and I see that there's a lot of branded traffic, one, I know that there's a good chance that in those 4 or 5 months, the initial cookie probably dropped off. Like it's very hard to track someone these days over the course of half a year. And I know that that campaign probably fed a lot of touch points and first touch points to that person. There's a very high likelihood that it did anyway. So if they're coming back through a branded keyword, to me, I don't stress too much about that because I have faith that we've already prospected to them. And the branded touch point is always the final. It's almost always the final touch point in a sale. So that's just us closing that loop and closing that person. And to me, that's an instance where that might be perfectly fine. On the other hand, if you have a lower price product or a product that people might buy within a 24-hour window, and you're going into your Performance Max campaign and you're seeing tons of branded traffic, it's very likely that traffic's coming from somewhere else. Because if you had prospected to those people that day, that tracking should still be available. They should still, you know, the cookie's still alive and well. So you'd hope to be seeing some more top of funnel keywords, search themes, and things of that nature. So for the lower priced products and smaller consideration windows, that's where I would say doing a brand exclusion might be worthwhile for them. But for those higher priced products and longer consideration phases, that's where I would say, you know, maybe don't pay so much attention to that branded conversion. And overall, I just like as an overall note, really the most important thing at the end of the day is marketers need to be paying attention to MER. That's like the number one thing. So like, you know, your platform ROAS might look up or down, but at the end of the day, it's like how much money are you feeding into Google Ads or Meta and how is that reflecting in Shopify? So seeing those little granular, like is it brand, is it not brand, might not matter as much in certain scenarios, as long as you're getting a good volume of new customers to your business for incremental growth and you're seeing your MER reflect that growth. So you always have to be looking outside the platform.
And ultimately, it's what we used to talk about when you're feeding clicker data from Facebook into your Google campaigns. By including your branded keywords, you should be like charging those campaigns with more intent. So you should, like, if you can get away with having branded keywords in your PMax, it might increase the chance that your PMax will work overall because you're getting these high quality people into their algorithms.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a campaign that's so naturally inclined to include brand and include warm traffic that as long as you have a good source of cold traffic prospecting outside of that campaign, you're almost just letting the campaign do what it does best, which is like hit that final point of the sale. If you're running omnichannel efforts and you have a meta team that's spending 90K a month and you're on Google only spending 30K a month and you have performance max, there's a good chance that your performance max ROAS on platform is going to be 8s, 9s, 10s, 11s, because Facebook is feeding so much cold traffic to the site and warming people up. And then Performance Max gets to go to that warm traffic and make sure they're closing. Like, we're closing the sale. So that's one strategy we run on some accounts where, let's say for, I don't know, very like visually appealing products, or yeah, I'd say like in the fashion space, jewelry space, those are segments that work really well on Meta. On some of our accounts, we let Meta run at very low returns because we know it's very effective at, say, like we have a men's boot brand that we work with and it's very appealing. The designs are bold and eye-catching, and Meta is able to generate so much interest through Instagram and Facebook ads, feed those people to the site, and then we run at an extremely high ROAS on Google, and we just scale prospecting on Meta and we close those deals on Google. If that makes sense.
It does. You mentioned marketing MER or marketing efficiency ratio. Just for the noobs in the audience, can you talk about how you actually are measuring that?
Yeah. So it can be easier. It can be hard. It really depends. But yeah, like for people unaware, marketing efficiency ratio is really how much money are you spending on marketing across the board? And then what's the division of that against the revenue that you're actually seeing in Shopify. So this is where, if you want to measure your effectiveness of scaling campaigns, and again, just going back to like the cookie apocalypse and tracking becoming more and more difficult, this is more and more important. So at the end of the day, if you're scaling spend on Google or Meta, you should expect to see Shopify numbers going up, or WooCommerce, or wherever you are, right? Like if you're spending a dollar, you know, you should be seeing that reflected in your sales on the back end. So how we're monitoring most of our clients' performance these days is simply that. Like, we're using our platform numbers as a pulse check to make sure different ad sets and keywords are healthy. But at the end of the day, if I'm putting, you know, $10 into Google and we usually average a 3x return, I'm expecting to see $3 in Shopify. And if I'm not seeing $3 in Shopify, you know, then there's a problem somewhere. Like that money's not being spent effectively. So that becomes a little more and more difficult, like measuring the impact of your spend when you're doing big omnichannel efforts, because you have an email team that's doing their thing. You have a Meta team that's cranking spend on their end and testing lots of things. You have the Google guys who are doing their thing, and there's so much action coming from so many different places that measuring the impact of it's like, hey, if I scale budgets on Google by 25%, you know, are we going to see that reflected in Shopify? It's difficult when there's so much action going on if you don't have like a cohesive plan for the other teams to either benchmark their performance or hold off on scaling on their end. So
you are collaborating cross team. So instantly, like, because I guess you could increase your spend 25% on Google, but maybe the Facebook team decreases theirs by 25%. That could throw it all off. So are you sort of like collaborating on the advertising plan as you measure this?
Yeah, yeah. In a perfect world, that's exactly what you're doing. Like doing a holdout test, for instance, saying, you know, we have a pretty good benchmark of what we expect to see from Meta, like over the last however many months. And then we're just going to hold spend on Meta at, I don't know, like let's say 5K a day. That's, you're spending 5K a day and you're not going to touch it for a little while. But then on Google, I'm going to be, yeah, scaling up 20, 25, 30%. And then And you really have to be careful of keeping in mind your consideration window for purchasers, obviously, before you measure the results of a test like this. And then, yeah, you're running that for however many weeks or months even, and then seeing like what's the impact in Shopify. Like, was that money well spent? Sometimes I'll see the ROAS, quote unquote ROAS, on Google increase by 80%, but then your MER, like, it didn't increase at all. Or, you know, your numbers in Shopify didn't reflect that at all. So then you know that there's some, you know, Google stealing conversions from elsewhere. But yeah, in a perfect world, you need to be in close communication with the other teams and always be understanding like what they're spending and where the performance is coming from. And it's a hard job, but if you want to do things right, there's no other way.
No one said omnichannel is easy, but it's got to be done. We're talking about what works here with PMax. I think we talked about search themes. We've talked about segmenting asset groups. What else on the PMax side is working?
Actually, just a quick note on search themes there. Yeah, so that's relatively new from Google. We didn't exactly touch on that yet, but before they rolled out search themes, you had to, PMax is an audience-focused campaign type. So there was no real direct way to put in keywords, much to the chagrin of pretty much every Google Ads guy or girl out there. So what you used to do is you would go create a custom audience and then create an audience around people searching for quote unquote whatever keywords you want to target. And it's a bit of a roundabout way. It's not a direct replacement for a keyword, but it was a very effective audience type. If anyone out there has never used custom audiences based around keywords, I highly recommend you go test that out. In either YouTube or your PMax campaigns or wherever you're testing audiences. Recently, and I think it's still in beta, so I'm not sure that everyone has access to that. We're usually pretty lucky here. We get early access to a lot of betas. But search themes, Google finally said, okay, we'll let you do this in a more direct way. Like, tell us what sorts of keywords you would like to be targeting, and then we'll use that as a quote-unquote theme. And that's just, you know, Google's getting broader and broader, so they don't like the idea that there's ever an exact match anything these days, but it's like, give us that theme and we'll go after it. So just a quick note for listeners, that's been highly effective. Using the exact same keywords in search themes as I was using in custom audiences, search themes seems to be outperforming those custom audiences by a fairly decent margin. So that's a newer
That feels thing. Like a win for performance marketers out there, where Google retracts a little bit and adds on, okay, you can add keywords back in a little bit. We'll because I guess the whole Google thing is they have so much data now, they know what you're searching better than your like vocabulary. You know what I mean? Like, in our vocabulary is limited to what we know, but Google has so much intent data, so much semantic data that surrounds what people are looking for, that they have a deeper insight into what you're actually looking for than you might be able to type.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I think they used to have a stat on the Google Ads homepage that said something like, we have 7 million data points on each individual or something scary like that. And then that was around the time that Facebook was facing a lot of antitrust suits and was coming under fire. And then that data point vanished from the homepage. I think they got a little worried, but yeah, like they have a lot of information and they can pretty accurately determine what you're in market for. So there's a lot of strength there, but I mean, this kind of goes to the next point. You're talking about semantics, so it kind of leads into another thing that's working here on Performance Max. When Performance Max first came out, it was famously bad at lead generation. And recently, we've actually been seeing some pretty significant success using Performance Max for lead gen. But it has to do with the specific scenarios. So something that's working for me is one of my lead gen clients who has budgets up in the seven figures just for Google. So they spend a lot of money. They have a fairly sophisticated checkout flow or application flow. It's a financial product, so you have to apply, and it has to do with your salary and your credit score and lots of other things. So they're happy to take in huge volumes of traffic because their 18-step flow will disqualify customers before they even get a chance to talk to a salesperson. Yeah, they basically just have, they leverage technology to do that work for them. So and their product is very broad. Like, basically anyone can apply for it. So for that, we've actually just this month have been seeing some pretty phenomenal results, right? But the key there is the broad nature of the searches that we can show and the broad nature of the people that we can show ads to. On the flip side, and this is how the semantics matching is tying in here, I have another lead gen client, again, spending pretty healthy amounts of money. They're in the law space and they have a very specific type of client that they service. And Google, despite all the brain power and the technology and the money, has shown a pretty poor ability to be able to differentiate between who we actually want and who's not relevant to us at all. For these guys,
them. It's having trouble pinpointing them.
Yeah, it's just so niche. And the difference of two words, like, or just reorganizing the search term, like with two words, one following the other, is the difference between this person is the perfect fit or this person probably has nothing to do with us at all. We tried Performance Max for them and it was a disaster. It brought in so much junk and so much irrelevancy. So I would tell people out there, if you're in the lead gen space, and I know this is a DTC podcast, but just for all the listeners anyway, if you're in the lead gen space and you have a very specific niche client that you serve, I would probably steer clear of Performance Max. But if you're happy to just pump in volume, and this logic actually goes well with shopping products too, and we'll talk about that in a second. But if you're happy to take in more broad searches, Performance Max can be really strong. And yeah, I can tie that into more something probably more relevant, which is D2C if you want. So
sure.
One area where I would actually potentially steer clear of Performance Max, even if you have big budgets and have a big team doing lots of revenue, if you're reselling any sort of other brands' products, so like even a lot of our DTC clients will resell, they're selling other brand stuff on their sites too. So if you're selling, I don't know, Air Force Ones, for instance, and it's like, there's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of searches every month online for Air Force Ones, that's where I would lean a little more towards standard shopping, because you just get so much more granular control over who you're showing to. And if you know that you basically only want to show your ads to someone looking for Air Force Ones, that specific keyword or very similar keywords, you can build out a segmented shopping campaign and add endless amounts of negative keywords and make sure that ad is only ever going to show for that search. Whereas in Performance Max, if you're selling those Air Force Ones, there's a good chance Google's going to show you for searches like casual men's sneakers, white shoes, or whatever. So this goes back to that broad versus specific need. I would say that, if you're a D2C brand that has a bit of a broader product, say like our men's boot client that I work with, people aren't that specific when they're looking for men's boots. They're just looking for like men's leather boots and they want to see all these different types of options out there. Performance Max can be pretty good there because it's matching all the customer intent and it's showing display ads and showing YouTube ads, and it's really good at introducing your brand to people who might not know about you yet. Whereas if you're selling something very specific and it's tied to any sort of specific keyword, that's where I would likely shy away from PMax, and standard shopping is probably a better fit for you.
Makes sense. If you're looking for Air Force Ones, there are no substitutes, I think.
Exactly. Like or like Chuck 70s, whatever. Adidas Sambas, yeah. Whatever the cool shoe is these days. So
I think Sambas are played, bro. That's what
are
I heard.
Are they out already?
I don't know. I was just about to get a pair, so I think that means they're out.
Yeah, damn. I got to throw mine out now, too.
What else? Is there anything else? We're coming up on time here, but anything else you'd like to leave the audience with about the nature of PMax and how to get the best results from them?
Yeah, I think so. I think one really important thing, there's so much. I could probably talk 2 hours on PMax, honestly. So there's so much. But really, at the end of the day, like, you got to think about what you're trying to do. Is it new customer acquisition, or are you happy to take in repeat customers? Like I said before, Performance Max is very geared towards warm traffic, and it'll always go after the lowest hanging fruit. So if you get a lot of repeat visits from customers, that if they buy once, they might buy 2-3 times. Performance Max will very likely hit up those same people again and again and again, because that's who they think is going to buy. But if you're a business that thrives off driving just straight up new customers to your site, and that's, I mean, that's important for growth for everybody, but if that's really like what you need, you need to grow, that's where, again, standard shopping is definitely not dead. It's, and this is what I was talking about the start, whereas a lot of people are retracting from Performance Max in specific use cases in 2024. And I would say this is the one where it's, if you just want to show to fresh faces all the time and feed those just cold traffic to the site, hopefully high intent cold traffic, just re-familiarize yourself with standard shopping campaigns, and you can drive a lot of good performance there. People might be thinking, well, why don't you just exclude brand from Performance Max, or why don't you leverage Google's, Performance Max has a new customer acquisition feature. And we find that the new customer acquisition feature, at the very least, often falls short of standard shopping. It's worth testing, but you really have to have the setup dialed. You have to know that Google is actually matching your customers properly. So you need those customer match lists in there. And there's also custom tagging solutions. And depending on people's technical abilities, it might be hard to facilitate that. So yeah, I would say that if you're looking for those new customers, standard shopping, I would welcome. And then what else can I leave you with? One good thing to test, I would say, is if you're still happy to run PMax, get the warm traffic, use its, like, leverage its ability to close sales and be that final touch point, you can run a hybrid strategy if you want. So if you have campaigns outside of Performance Max, like standard shopping campaigns, you can run them side by side, but there are some tricks to it. You really have to incentivize Google to spend in the standard shopping campaigns, because it'll always opt for Performance Max if they're both available. So to do that, you can leverage manual cost per click, which seems so old school, but it works. If you make a click appealing enough to Google, Google wants your money. It's going to spend money there. So you can use your standard shopping campaign as kind of the prospecting device. You're probably going to see very bad platform attributed numbers to that campaign, but as long as you're looking at it through the lens, this is just feeding good traffic to the site, and then you watch to see if your Performance Max campaign performance increases during that time period. And you can do the same thing with search campaigns as well. You can leverage exact match in search campaigns, which will always override Performance Max. So you'll know that the search campaign will get a click if that exact match search term is available. And you can use that to just feed cold traffic to the site, and then just keep your Performance Max campaign as this, like, retargeting warm traffic machine. So yeah, I think that basically covers it for now. Like I said, we could go on for a long time here, but...
Well, part two. I just want to ask about scripts. Last thing I want to ask about, you've got a note here that says scripts. What do you mean, like sales scripts or automation scripts?
Scripts, yes. This is going back to that theme of marketers always trying to take back control from Google.
Yep.
Google has the ability for you to run custom JavaScript code in there. And a lot of people thought that wasn't relevant anymore, really, due to the fact that, you know, smart bidding is getting so advanced and there's so many AI capabilities. But after time, what a lot of buyers and a lot of smart people realize that, you know, we can still layer in automation on top of Google's automation that will increase the effectiveness of our campaigns. So this applies to all areas of an account, just not Performance Max. But with Performance Max specifically, one of the things people don't like about it is it's such a black box of information in platform. But a lot of that information lives in the API. You just need to have an engineering mind and need to know JavaScript in order how to extract that information out of the API and toss it in a spreadsheet or a Looker Studio report. Thankfully, there are some individuals out there who are very smart at that, and they offer scripts. You can buy people scripts. And for Performance Max specifically, a very useful script to run is one that'll show you what channels you're spending on. Google won't give you that information outright. It won't say how much display versus YouTube versus shopping versus search. But again, some smart people have written some JavaScript code that you can apply to the site that will give you those breakdowns and give you much more detailed breakdowns over the search terms and just, yeah, open up that information that we all desperately want so bad. That's a pretty deep topic, scripts, and it's definitely not my strong suit, but for people out there, definitely, if you haven't heard of it or haven't researched that world, I would start looking around.
I love ending things on really nerdy notes. And I think that one goes about as nerdy. Because I haven't run PMax. I've kind of tapped out of Google before I got a chance to run it. But I was just talking with rogue ex-Googler Ben Kruger, who used to be a rep there. And now he's got a business. He just came on the podcast. He was talking about you can use PMax to like excavate new keywords and new keyword groups. So there is, without scripts, you can pull out data from PMax. But this is just a way to go a lot deeper. Is that right?
Yeah, 100%. And actually, recently, Google's got a little bit better at the search terms reporting. They're letting us pull more detailed reports. So yeah, it's available there. So I would say just dig around as much as you can. And they always add little things here and there. And sometimes you won't notice them until a few weeks later. You're like, where did this setting come from? Or where did this new tab come from? But yeah, with scripts, generally speaking, you can extract deeper amounts of information. And the beauty is you can automate reports. So I have reports that run either daily or weekly. So on Mondays, when I log onto my computer, I have several emails in my inbox that are saying, hey, these are the sending or trending search themes for this campaign and this account, for this campaign and this account. And then I go in there, I'm like, oh, wow, I've never heard or thought of that search theme for this brand, but it's trending heavily. And we actually got a couple clicks and conversions from it last week. Let's go reintroduce that search theme by telling Google I want to target it instead of it just happening and come in there by accident. So you can schedule these things. And it keeps you on top of the game and keeps you, you know, it cuts out on those little lapses in concentration sometimes. Or if you don't have time to just dig deep into accounts every single day, you can get these things right in your inbox, right in your Google Sheets. So
speaking on top of people being on top of their games, I got to say, for a premiere episode, you just absolutely nailed it. You've got the way you're holding your microphone, I think already sets you up to be an influencer. So I'm hoping we can work with you on some PMax TikTok videos or Reels videos. Because like I said, you already have the microphone thing, which I hear is like the hardest thing about being an influencer.
That's it. That's a trick. Nice.
That's a trick.
I got a new career path coming. See you later. Media nice. Buying. Not as kidding.
Nice, man. Well, first of many, we'll get you become our, you can become our PMax reporter, and we'll get you back on again soon. Thanks for coming on All Killer No Filler today.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much, Eric.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're not getting the D2C newsletter, you can subscribe for free at directtoconsumer.co. And if you want to learn more about Pilot House's all-killer, no-filler services, take off to pilothouse.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.